God is good, amen? I'm going to read a scripture. Matthew, the book of Matthew. You all know it by heart, I'm sure, but I want to read it to you anyway. This is the passage at the end of Matthew that's called the Great Commission, which is actually given in many places. In Matthew 28, verse 16, Jesus it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. So this commission here is for the true church of Jesus Christ to go out and spread the gospel literally around the world. That means that when we walk out the door tonight and we see the world, we have a mission field. Amen? When we go to work Monday morning, see the boss, you got a mission field. Your coworkers, you have a mission field. Your neighborhood, you have a mission field. So the Great Commission is great because the harvest, Jesus says, is great. It's everywhere we go. Anyone and everyone that does not know the Son of God, we are Jesus to them. When they look at us, they should see Christ. Amen? So tonight, we're going to hear reports from around the world. We're going to hear a missionary speak from her labor in the continent of Asia. We're going to hear about a missionary speak about her work in the continent of Africa, literally around the world. And then I'm going to share about my work in the continent of North America. So it's going to be an exciting evening to see what God is doing around the world. But before we actually start, I'm going to have Greg Tyler come up. He's in charge of our missions ministry. Greg, come on up, if you would. Let's welcome Greg.
Well, isn't God good? What a redeemer he is, and what a faithful God he is. And bringing our missionaries home safely on their furlough, and what great things they will have to share of the past year and of the future. So I just invite you to sit back. We're going to keep the children in. I think they would enjoy the missionaries that they pray for. You're going to get an opportunity to hear Carrie Brown speak of her adventures in Asia, and also of Nancy Bond. Some of you might not know Nancy Bond. She is the mother of Mike Bond, and she's in Africa. So Carrie Brown has a table over here. She'll be over and around to talk to, and Nancy Bond has a table over here. Same goes for her. So I just think this is a wonderful opportunity, and I echo Pastor Vaughn's about how we enter the, I'd love to have a sign on every door walking out of the church: you're entering the mission field. And I think it would be great, because we are guys. And these special ladies have dedicated their lives to the Lord, and dedicated their time to fulfill the Great Commission. So first up will be Carrie Brown, and then I'll introduce Nancy Bond. So,
you want to speak on that? Okay. I have a few treats for you guys tonight. Let me go ahead and give you a warning for that. Do you guys remember that time when I threw silly putty up here? Wasn't that hilarious? That was a good time. Okay, tonight I have treats from China for each of you. Hopefully you have enough. There will be money and coins that the kids will be handing out to you. Over here, it's not worth a dollar. Not worth a penny probably, but my hope is that when you get them, that you'd put it in your wallet and just thumbing through paying for stuff or, you know, putting business cards in your wallet or whatever, that you would remember to pray for China. And China did this really cool thing where they put one of their people groups on each of their dollars. So you can even pray for that particular people group. So you can see that and any other fun little deals over here. Don't leave the church without your money. It's the first time you'll ever see a missionary giving you money. So remember it. Take a picture. And we also have another treat for you, but I won't tell you what that is until later, and then you'll get to experience it. Right now, it's 8:18 a.m. in China. They're waking up. Many of them are getting ready to go to church or in church right now. Kind of a funny thought. Have you ever thought about that? That we're meeting right now, where many of our brothers and sisters are meeting. And it's just kind of neat when you picture the world where the Lord is. He doesn't sleep, and all around the world that people are meeting, worshiping and praising him and sharing and being persecuted all over the world, like right now. So it's kind of a neat perspective. This year has been really interesting for me, and I've talked with each of you, and each of you have heard different stories, and it's kind of fun. I want to kind of tell you kind of a couple different parts of what happened. First, I want to tell you about the movement that we built. The Lord has been really good. I love to learn things. And each year I try and learn something new. And this year I learned a bunch of things. I learned Chinese. I use that loosely. I learned how to edit movies, and I learned how to rock climb, which is kind of weird, but anyway, but tonight I made some movies where you'll actually see some of these students and hear them tell you what's going on in their lives, and I think they say it much better than I do. So that's another treat for you. We basically went there to start movements. And what we mean by a movement is that a group of people who are following the Lord with all of their heart, and that it's this group, this cell group that is alive in and of itself. Like, it's not dependent on me. Like, if I leave, they're still worshiping the Lord together. It's like here, if one of us members, or even if Pastor Vaughn were to leave, it would probably carry on because it's the Spirit is working here through us together as a body. And so, anyway, that was our hope. And I got to see three different movements started up on three different campuses. And it's amazing because when I went there, I didn't know a lick of Chinese. And I totally depended on the fact that I had a big nose and they would see me and they're like, big nose foreigner, and would talk. They actually call you that, just so you know. Da Biza. So if you're like walking in China and somebody says Da Biza, they just said big nose. You might want to know that. It's not a bad thing either. It's really funny. Like, it's not like a curse word or anything. They don't. I don't know. But I got to see personally three ministries built up, and then our team saw a couple others as well. So it's just amazing in a year how this happened. I'll tell you the story of actually a young man. I started meeting with him. I was walking down the street at his campus, and he saw that I had a big nose, and so he came up to me and said, "Can I speak English with you?" And I said, "Yeah. Are you a Christian?" And he's like, "No, I'm Chinese." Like, what is this girl thinking? She doesn't know a lot, does she? And I'm like, "Really? Do you know anyone who's a Christian?" And he said, "No." And I was like, that is amazing. Because, you know, growing up, I think I knew some Christians even before, you know, I became a Christian. That's just amazing to me. So we started talking about that. We began talking pretty late that night, went to the little coffee house on their campus and started talking about the world. And he saw that there was sin in the world, his own little version of what he thought was sin. But he saw you saw that the world isn't good. It's not a good place. We have problems, major problems. And he was like, but Mao thought that if we do this and we all work together, we will have like a good world. And he really aligned himself to that. You know, he's been hearing this stuff all of his life. And I was like, see, the thing is, Mao wants to like change you from the outside. He puts strict rules and you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. And, oh, sorry. You know, most of the time I make you laugh when I do things like that. Oh, well. So I was telling him, like, Mao wants to change you, like, from the outside. He sees that there's something wrong, and he wants to fix it, and he's trying the best. But the problem is that even if people are obedient, their hearts, he can't control their hearts. He can't make people's hearts be good. He can't make somebody care that someone is poor. He can make the poor, like, wealthy and take away all your money, but he'll never change that person's heart. And so I was like, but that's, like, what Jesus does. When you know Jesus, like, he changes your heart, and then everything just happens on the outside. Like, he changes the spring. He makes it like from bad water to good water, and then the goodness just comes out of it. And then he's like, really? Like, wow, that I see that. Like, yeah, like the hearts, the people, you can only control so much, and they'll do things behind your back. Like, you can't make the world good. It's the heart that's the problem. And these conversations went on and on. He finally, after like a month of conversation, became a Christian. And he's actually really excited to tell others about this new spring that Jesus wants to plant in you. Like, he's really has a huge heart for it, and he's a freshman, which we always are so grateful when God lets a freshman come to him, because that gives us time to like disciple him and train him for a couple of years, and hopefully by the time he's a junior or senior, he could lead the movement on his own and be discipling other men to keep it going on and on and on. And praise again that it's a guy. Like, that's so hard. I think in general there's just more women in the mission field, and it works against itself in a lot of different ways, in that men don't always take women seriously. And so when you're sharing the gospel from the perspective of a woman, sometimes you're just not heard. And it's just amazing. God just opened his ears and working in him to want to share the gospel, and maybe he would be a leader later to help carry on the church, bringing up more men in the church. So that's really exciting. So I'm going to go ahead and explain a little bit about the movements. I've got, I'm gonna show the evangelism video first. You guys have that up? It's a testimony with my roommate. She's going to be telling you a story about a girl who came to Christ. And where's the music? Is there music? Look, I learned how to do this. Isn't that cool? Okay, so evangelism. This is a Chinese praise and worship song, actually. But, do you know this song? Evangelism. 这世间所看重将多挣扎，我曾看
was to Paul, we dreamed that this campus would be for us, the hub of ministry reaching out to the campuses of the Southeast.
I think coming over here the first time this semester, evangelism was probably one of the things that I had the most fear and just worried about. Just coming to a country where it's not entirely legal for us to be sharing the gospel, and just to a culture that has no real history of knowing what the gospel is, just coming in with nothing. And just trying to walk up to people and have conversations about, and just to be able to share the gospel. One of the big examples that I have is a guy named Hui Da. And the first time we met him, he had so many questions about the existence of God. We were able to give him a book, an apologetics book, which is very similar to our Case for Christ. And after he started reading that, he began to really become interested in the Bible and really start reading the Bible with a lot of interest. The first time I sat down with him, he was very clear on the existence of God and really wanted to know just what to do with his sin. So all the pieces at that time really started to fall into place for him, for a Savior who had died for him and for a loving God who had provided a method to deal with his sin. And so at that, so he was really excited to accept that. And it's just been really exciting to see him just start to grow over the last couple of weeks, just to be just so clearly how God has brought him from darkness to light, from when we first had known him till now.
Discipleship, if you can show discipleship, and then after that we'll show movement. So why don't we just do all three? Is that cool? In order for movement to be successful, we must work hard to teach and train these new believers to study the Word and how to share God's Word with others.
I met Kalong and Colleen at the very beginning of the semester. They were contacts from the summer project that came past summer, and from the very beginning they were always together. They're roommates, and so every time we meet they both come, which is really great because they have a really good relationship and just have fun together and play off one another and can teach one another and also learn from one another very easily.
Kalong Ming, who was coming to the Bible study, wasn't a believer.
We'd spend half of the Bible study just answering basic evangelism questions when Kalong would be wanting to answer other questions about what she'd been reading.
Song Ming needed to know another mature Chinese believer.
One of the other girls that another person on our team was discussing met these girls just on their own and took them to church, and through that, Kalong became a Christian. Really amazing. And both girls were so eager to learn more, and so we started doing follow-up studies. And just going through the lessons, and we finish one and have maybe 10 or 15 minutes left to meet, and they want to start doing the next lesson, and they say, oh, we just don't have time, so promise that we'd do it again the next week. And it was just so great to see their willingness to learn, and every week they would have new questions. And Kalong is actually hooked up with the girl who took her to church and some other students, and they meet every week for just the time of Bible study and fellowship with one another. And I think it's just something that's really helping her to meet with other Christian students. And it's just great to see their faith growing as they're in the Word daily and just see as God has started answering some of their prayers. I'm really excited about the movements movie because it really shows you at the beginning of the movie it's all non-believers, you can see like one of our fellowships, and you can just kind of pay attention to them praying, and I think it always touches my heart to see it because it's they pray with such intensity, and there's such a gratitude in the Chinese for knowing God. They're just, you share the gospel with them, and they're like, thank you so much. In fact, there's a couple times they'd call me, and they'd say, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you. I'm going to be a Christian, and I'm going to live my life for him, and I will die for him. I will tell others for him, about him, and I'm like, oh, stop saying that on the phone. around. They don't know. Most of them don't really know that they're being watched or heard, actually. But anyway, movements, you'll see. Just kind of pay attention to their faces when they're praying.
It's
so touching for me to see that, because like there's some of those faces are people I got to see come to Christ, and so it's just like, oh, wow, yeah, just kind of gives me goosebumps. But and there'll be some pictures over here. You'll get to see some of their faces a little bit more. And you know, do I have time? I've got my pride and joy. Her name is Alice. It's 8:38 a.m. Her name is, I didn't give her that name, but it's her English name that I called her that. But anyway, Alice, she, I met her just randomly. I was at my campus, and she was, came in the lunchroom. She was visiting a friend, and she's like, can I borrow your meal card? And so we let her borrow the meal card. She comes back, and I just noticed something different about her. She's just kind of smiling and just seems restful. A lot of Chinese students, they're not very restful. Like, they're worried about tests, and they're just a little bit on the edge sometimes. But she's just happy, just a nice demeanor. And so I asked her, I was like, what do you think about God? And so I'm a little bit forward, I think, from some of the other people, I think, who were there doing the same things. But I asked her, what do you think about God? And she goes, oh, I love him. And I was like, really? And so she's like, yeah. And so like we start talking. It turns out she became a believer a year ago from one of our classmates who was in high school with her, who was a believer. And he was Chinese. And so she had been kind of a believer for this last year, but just hasn't really known much about like reading the word and sharing her faith or anything. And so I asked her, like, would you like some help? And she's like, oh, yeah, you would want to meet with me? I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I would. And so we started meeting, and I got to see her bring someone else to the Lord, which is really exciting. Let me show you her video. I think some of you heard about this. A Student's Ministry is the video, but some of you heard about this. I think either if you get my emails, then you might have heard about what was happening. So go ahead and start that. I think you guys will be shocked when you hear, like, what happened. There's so much, they can do so much more than we can do, so you'll see. I met with Alice at Starbucks, and we were talking about what kind of things has happened. One day her class monitor had quoted
the sentence that's in the Bible, and I said another sentence in the Bible. She was excited. How do you know? I tell her, now I study the Bible. And then she asked me to go to her office and to talk about the Bible. To show others our love and tell them what the true love.
In the office where her teacher had said that she had gotten a Bible and she'd been reading it, and she was seeing that the Bible was really true and she really believed it. And she asked Alice if she'd be willing to teach her the Bible.
And we know next Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, and that day our class will have a meeting about love. My teacher asked me to tell my classmates what love is. I will use the Bible. I will use the word that Jesus gave me.
The class is going to be getting together to talk about Thanksgiving, and the teacher asked Alice if she would teach the class at this meeting next Thanksgiving. She would teach them what the Bible says about love, and she would teach them what the Bible says. And so next Thursday, Alice is going to be speaking to her class of freshmen at the med school about God's love.
And that night we prayed, and then we prayed over her campus. And on Thanksgiving Day, she shared, and 20 of her classmates asked her to teach them more about the Bible.
She got some heat for that too, and so did the teacher actually. And they laid low for a little while. She was told she was not allowed to start a group, but God totally showed up. Like, you'll see if you want, you can look at some of the pictures, but the first semester, it was just me and her meeting. She wasn't allowed to get a group, and she was kind of afraid because she could get kicked out of school. And this is the number one med school in the country. But God just did amazing things in the second semester, started bringing in other Christians that we didn't know and started putting it together. And a group developed, even though the school said no and the teacher said no, a group developed. And there's, I think, 10 or 11 people in it now. And they meet every day to study the word together and to sing songs together. And then every Friday they meet for the whole night and spend the whole night together, family time. They go and do either a ministry to the homeless, we did that one time, or go and do something else. But they're dedicated to each other, and it's just amazing. No opposition can stop, what God's doing there, and it's just amazing. So, okay, right now it is 8:44 a.m. So I know a particular church that is getting, they're walking into their building on floor number 4. I know that because I got lost so many times in that building. And I would go to every floor and look around and then go to the next floor and look around. I forgot which floor it was. But anyway, they're meeting right about now. And they're going to start singing praise and worship. And so this is the second treat I have for you. And we are doing this now, right? Okay, so can I have the worship team come on up? We're going to sing with them. And we're going to sing in their language. If you noticed, when I was talking on the video, I talk really slow, and I say the same thing over and over. And when you're speaking with somebody whose English is their second language and you're communicating for long hours, it does something to you. Well, we're going to get an experience of what it's like to worship the Lord in a language that's not yours. Many of these people are hearing the gospel in a language that's not theirs, and it's really hard. It's a miracle that these people are understanding the word of God and becoming saved. So we're going to sing a praise and worship song. We're going to sing Change My Heart, O God. So you know the tune, but it's just going to be in Chinese. And so...
I'll tell you what, let's have the whole body stand up. I think they'll be able to sing it.
Everyone, just think of this when you're looking at the words. It's written in English sounding way, and just think when you're doing this to be brave, sing it even if you sound bad, even if you don't know what you're saying, because I think in a little way you get to share a little bit of what these people are going through, in hearing the gospel through another language. It's not easy, and so you're kind of bearing with your brothers for a moment and kind of feeling their pain, and just kind of let yourself experience how hard it is to do it. And you'll know the words because you know the song, so I'm going to get off of here, and I'm not going to.
No.
I'm not singing up here.
You have an extra mic over here. Sing in their ears and sing loud. That mic over there. Okay, just stand next to her. Okay.
I look forward to heaven when it's not a curse to hear my voice singing.
Four. Change my heart, oh God. Yeah. Go ahead and let's hear the first notes.
You're first.
Ready? Come on, guys, we're not playing it in Chinese. All right.
song maybe many of you won't know. It's We Will Stand. Do you know this?
Do we actually have the English words for this one first?
You have it on the screen.
No, I mean for those guys. Okay,
you
good. You
brother.
Do. Okay.
Now, the Chinese church, what we do is at the end of our worship, we hold hands and we sing it together because it's a song about us together as the body of Christ. Like, Oh, no, that's it. But if you, I don't know, it's kind of weird, I know, but why don't you grab the hands of the people next to you? If they're family, it won't be too weird. Hopefully.
Okay, well, I want to sing in English first, only because I'd like for people to know what this song says. It's really good words, and then we can sing in Chinese.
Okay.
Give me a one. One, two, three.
You're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us. We are walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand.
Okay, one, two, in Chinese.
Ni shi wo di di.
But thank you for trying it out. It's kind of neat, isn't it? Like, together we go. They're so brave. Okay, so who's coming up next? Are you going to introduce her?
Thank you, Carrie. And as you can see, Carrie works with older youth, college age students. And what you'll find is Mrs. Bond organization is raising up children from a younger age, educating them and then giving them homes. So there she is. Would you like to come up?
Good evening here. Carrie said that a couple of minutes ago we were at 8 a.m. or almost 8 a.m. in the morning in China, and it is almost 8 p.m. In America, where I am standing and you are sitting. In Africa, where I live, Accra, Ghana, it is 1 a.m., or almost 1 a.m., it's like 12:55. So, people, it is already tomorrow in Accra, Ghana, and they are, hopefully, my friends and my Rafiki family are sleeping. There are 59 children there. I hope that they're all sleeping soundly, and I hope my friends are sleeping soundly, too. I bring greetings from my church where I worship in Accra, Ghana. And when you say, we sing that song, Send Your Rain, every single Sunday we pray for rain, whether it's the, and you know, and you laugh. It said Send Your Rain. So I think of Send R-A-I-N or Send Your Rain, R-E-I-G-N. But in Accra, Ghana, we pray for our church, we pray for safety on the roads. We pray for our country, Ghana. We pray for rain, and then we sing a lot of praise songs. So I bring greetings from my church. It's an interdenominational church. It's probably, the people in the church are probably half of the people sitting over there. I would think about half of us. There's maybe 50 of us, and at least half are children. That's my ACP church. The songs. Thank you for the songs that we have sung tonight. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball. In Africa, we have tribes. And so we have tribes. I live at a village. Tribes have villages. I live at a village. It's a Rafiki village. How did I get there? A short story. In 2001, I went on a mission trip to Africa, and I fed 18 children in an orphanage with one plate and one spoon. And as a nurse, I was appalled and could not believe that I was doing this. And so I thought, you know, in order to not end up crying, I thought I would sing to these children. And so this was 18, and this was not in the Rafiki village. So I sang, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, as I was feeding them. Little ones to them belong, they are weak. And I quit singing because if I sang anymore, I would end up crying. Anyway, that's 2001. What I told the Lord at that time was, I have seen all of this. I have seen these children in this orphanage. This has to change my life. I did not think that he would be sending me to Africa. But I told him that this would have to change my life, and it has. I've been in Accra, Ghana. It's at the center of the world map. If you wonder where Accra, Ghana is, if you have a world map, and you look at the very center, there is Ghana. So that is where I am living. It's at the equator, so it is hot. It's kind of like St. Louis hot. So I, you know, God has prepared me, living in St. Louis, to go live in Accra, Ghana. I'm going to be there. I've been there 2 years. I'm going to be there 4 more years, God willing. A bit about Rafiki. I live at a village. I have a short video. It will explain everything. I took pictures, so I will be explaining now. And then in the pictures, what does the village look like where I live? What does my house look like? Who are the people that I work with? I work with eight adult Americans. There's three children of those eight adults. We have 59 children, so you'll see some of them. You won't see all 59 because that would take a lot longer than the 10-minute video. We have 7 moms that take care of these children. Rafiki is a Swahili word that means friend. And so friend, we bring in orphans. There's a new song. Has anybody heard it? God Has No Orphans. I don't know if you've heard that song on 94.1, but God Has No Orphans. And so all of these children, including us, are his children. We are his child. Rafiki's aim and goal is to raise up children. We are in Rafiki's in 10 countries in Africa. Afterwards, you can ask me to name them. We are in 10 countries in Africa. The goal is to raise up godly children. So the vision is to raise up godly contributors from orphans all the way through college. We do that. We feed them, so that's physically. My job is food service director and in charge of the laundry. So I make sure that physically they have clean clothes and that they have food to eat. So I direct that. Spiritually, the children go to Rafiki school, so they are taught a biblical classical education, and that will go from preschool all the way through high school at Rafiki, and then they will go on to college. That's educationally, so it's physically, spiritually. Rafiki will educate these children. Our school is there. You'll see pictures of that, of the school. The children in it, they're in purple. We have purple uniforms. We start a school day just like they do here in the U.S., 8 a.m. They finish at 3 p.m. Rafiki is also a service and a training organization. So we hope to duplicate what we are doing at the Rafiki Village in Ghana to at another Rafiki Village about 100 miles away. We are all supported by American money, which is great when the government of Ghana says, "Where, you know, are you taking our money to serve and to raise these orphans?" And we say, "No, this is American money to support missionaries like me, American money to support the orphans." I think that we could get ready to start the film. If you watch it, it's a slideshow. It has music. I've taken almost all the pictures. There's a couple of pictures that I have not taken. I love taking pictures. If you watch, look for all the titles. They go fast. Some of pictures of northern Ghana, where I traveled last fall. You'll see some pictures of local villages. You'll see a picture of the village where I live. You will see the people that I work with. You'll see a picture of some of the kids that that are there at the village. So, enjoy.
It seems And oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit awhile with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me to more than I can be.
Thank you. You probably have a few questions. I will be glad after worship to answer. I have one short story. You saw pictures of the twins, Derek and Diana. They were born January 28th. Their mother died in childbirth. Their dad and his brother and two other women came and brought these two to our gate 2 days later. They were feeding them the babies boiled, but it was stream water, boiled stream water. Diana weighed 3.5 pounds and Derek weighed 5 pounds. They go through a screening process. So these children had to go to social welfare. About 30 minutes from us is a government office, so they could be registered there with the government. They went through a medical screening process, as all the children do, to make sure that the kids are healthy, because we're going to raise these kids to be godly contributors. They have to be healthy so that they can get to be old. They came, the twins came, they passed the medical examination, they had a blood test, and our Dr. Joy checked out their lungs and all their vital systems. They came on Thursday, February 2nd. I'm a nurse, and I thought, how are we going to raise a 3.5-pound baby and a 5-pound baby? Here in the United States, those kids would be in an NICU, in a neonatal intensive care unit. And so we set up an intensive care unit, which consisted of a room with two cribs, and we cleaned it well, and we all wore aprons. Three of us white women and the mom, Cecilia, who is Ghanaian, were the only women that could feed the babies. So we fed these babies milk from February 2nd, and only with milk and tender, loving care. It is obviously by the grace of God. They now weigh, Diana weighs about at least 10 pounds, and Derek is up to 12 pounds. Incredible. It is an incredible story. On that same night, too, when I had misgivings, would these children live? When they came on February 2nd, at night, our water pump broke. And in Africa, you survive. You know, we pray for rain. We have a borehole, and so we have lots of water. But if you can't pump it, you don't have any water. And so our water pump broke. So we went about 30 minutes to buy bottled water, and then the kids had a great time. We woke up the kids, so about 9 o'clock, we got containers, and the kids and their moms walked to a neighboring village to their borehole to pump water to bring it back for us. And I thought, this is really a bad beginning for two small people, but Derek and Diana are doing well. Thank you. It has been a joy just to come here to worship with you for the last month. Thank you for your support. I appreciate it. Thanks.
That was awesome, wasn't it? Before we wrap it up, we've got another mission opportunity coming up, and that's VBS, and I'm going to have Dawn. Dawn, are you going to come up, or is Ravana's coming up?
Ravana's not here.
I guess it's you. Dawn just had a baby about a week or two ago, and here she is.
Well, again, I wasn't prepared to do this. He says, we'll do it right after theirs, okay? And I thought, oh, okay. But I want to thank everyone in here tonight. I slipped in last week and slipped out early, and apparently I slipped out a little too early because I wasn't here for what God was doing in this church that night. So I want to thank absolutely everybody here for all the donations that you made for our Vacation Bible School. And just very briefly, as you know, originally we started with a $1,500 budget. Ravonda and I had planned to meet with Pastor Voles and ask for a little more. And then we got the call from Mike saying that we had been cut 45%. And we thought, okay, well, we'll deal with it. And we thought, we'll focus on the curriculum. We'll focus on the Word of God, which is really what it's about. And as you're watching all the videos that they're showing, and you see all these little kids, I'm almost back there in tears. Of course, I'm a little messed up, you know, like you said, it's been a couple weeks, but the children really have a place in my heart, and that's where my heart is, and that's why I think VBS is so important to me. It's because it's the children, not necessarily just our children, but as an outreach to all of the children out in the community. On the back table, there are some door hangers, and we are encouraging everyone to take some of those, pass them around your neighborhood. We have children here who have friends who are lost. You know, invite them, have them come. Even if they're older than, you know, what we're teaching, they can come and they can help and they can be a part of this. We do still have openings for, I believe, one teacher. and the nursery is completely open. So right now we have no workers in our nursery that fell through, so we do need people to step up and kind of help in our infant and our toddler nursery. But getting back to the budget, it was like, you know, when we went from $1,500 to $825. And so we redid our budget and we worked things and we prayed. And then we came up with, Mike said, take it to the body, do something, have a fundraiser. And I thought, I'm having a baby in a week. What am I going to do? So we came up with the idea for the Bakeless Bake Sale, and we raised $233, which was awesome. It was incredible, and it happened in a matter of a week. Then last week, God was just so faithful, so awesome. As a church body, you collected $1,125 last week. Thank you. Ravonda's already been out spending. and then after that, there were a couple checks that came in. So actually, our total as of last Tuesday was $2,233. So it was just amazing, absolutely incredible. I really believe God's going to do a great work here. It's not this week, it is next week. We start July 31st, we go to August the 4th, and then August the 5th, that night, the kids are all going to come up here and they're going to sing for you. And we're going to have our presentation that night. So you'll get to hear about what the children have learned through the week. You'll get to watch them all come up here all dressed up and, you know, hear them singing. And we are inviting all of the families, like for the children from the community, we're going to invite their families here. So we're asking for people to just kind of be available to talk to their parents, you know, afterwards, because there are going to be questions. And we're going to be sending home things every day, and there are going to be questions. And as far as follow-up, we are going to be offering an adult Bible study for the children's parents. So that'll happen afterwards. And it goes along with the program that the children are learning. So it's based on the same scriptures that the children will be learning, only it's on an adult level. So I just really wanted to just stand up here and thank absolutely every one of you for all of the help. And some people have really stepped up and have really helped. I couldn't have done this without Ravonda. There's absolutely no way. And I wish she was here tonight. But and there's so many people, just too many people to thank right now. We have a list. And you'll hear all that later on August the 5th. But just pray for us. We will have in your mailboxes by next Saturday night a specific prayer list for all the teachers, all the kids, all the parents, and each aspect of the ministry. So we're just asking that you pray for us and that you continue to stand with us, and just pray that everything goes through the glory of God. This is all for Him. We have turned this totally over to Him, and we have seen miraculous things. So, and we haven't even started yet. So I want to thank you and encourage you all to send your children, send your teenagers, and come help yourselves. So thank you.
Back again. Hey. Hey, cool story. You may not know this, but 4 years ago, Jeff and Ravonda got married, and they asked me to perform the wedding, which I did. And they asked me to, during the wedding ceremony, to give the gospel. So I gave the gospel, and I don't think, you know, generally that when I give the gospel at a wedding, I don't say, raise your hands, walk the aisle, you know. Not appropriate for a wedding. But I do explain the gospel, and I make it very clear. And I invite people to come to a point of decision. Not just think about Jesus, but as you contemplate the good news of the gospel, to open your heart to Christ. And about a year later, I bumped into Dawn in the hallway out here. And she said, hi, I'm Dawn Terry. I said, oh, hi. She said, you probably don't know this, but when you gave the gospel at Ravonda's wedding, I got saved that day. Wow. Praise the Lord, amen. And then the other cool thing was she had her daughter with her, and she said, you know, I'm kind of new at this. I don't think she'd really been in a church where they're teaching the word. She said, oh, you know, I know Jesus, but I don't know much about this. Can you pray with my daughter? She wants to receive Christ. So we sat in my office, and we got to pray together, and her daughter came to Jesus that night. Isn't that exciting? So now her husband's saved, and the whole family's serving the Lord. So it's really exciting. So, you know, I tell that story because I had, when I gave the gospel at the wedding, I had no idea what happened. You know what I mean? And I think that happens a lot. You give the gospel to people, and you're like, oh, well, they didn't get saved at that moment. You never know because, you know, Jesus compares the word, the gospel, to a seed, and you go out and you plant it. And sometimes those seeds don't sprout up for years. And I remember this one girl I used to work with years ago, sharing the gospel with her, and she was open, and she was coming along, you know. I'd see her at work, and I'd talk a little bit more. She'd come on. She got to a certain point, and she just did a complete turnaround. And basically, one night, we were standing out at our cars after work, and we were talking, I was sharing Christ with her, and she basically told me to go to hell. She didn't want to hear anything about it anymore. I said, well, I'm saved. I can't go to hell, so hey. But then, no kidding, maybe 6-7 years later, I see her at the mall. She goes, I just want to tell you, I came to Jesus Christ. And so, you know, I planted seeds, and the Holy Spirit watered them, and, you know, who knows who else the Lord brought into her life. So, you know, you never quit praying for people, amen? Never quit sharing the word, even if you don't see immediate results. That's okay, because when you plant a seed, you don't see, it doesn't sprout up right in front of you. Sometimes it takes many years. Tim, what do you got? So bring that down. Let me see what you got. You got the world in your hand? Is that heavy? Is that heavy?
It's all right.
Yeah, your chair.
Yeah, you got, no, this is fine. I'll hold it right here. I'll just kind of balance it right here. You know what's cool about this globe? The coolest thing about this globe is I got it free. But the thing that made me think about this globe tonight was that this globe is from China. Not just made in China, but it was hand-delivered from someone who went to China and bought it and brought it right here to my office. And it's cool because it's not an American version per se, because all of the countries on here, you know, like here's a big continent. It has all of the countries in Chinese, because it's made in China. Fortunately, it has them in English, too. A lot of them I could probably figure out. Like, I think I know where Europe is. I know where America is. Canada, got those down. Is Nancy still here? Nancy, come here. Can you show me where your country is? Isn't that a cool globe? Cool. I love globes. Okay, here's, you have to get in here. Here's that Europe. That says Europe up there. You're over there? I thought you were over here. Oh, if you go east, it turns into west?
It is a cool globe. It is cool. Where is
it? Right there? So it's on the western coast of Africa.
Gulf of Guinea? Right here.
Cool. Very cool. They used to harvest slaves there, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. William Wilberforce, who I wrote a book about, helped stop this stuff over 100 years ago. Carrie, can you show me where your country is? Hey, don't leave.
It's right here, and actually, it's kind of a funny thing. It says Zhong. Oh, that's the long name of China, and I don't even know how to say that. But Zhongguo is China in Chinese, and it basically means center. So they actually believe they're the center of the world.
Yes, they do. Sounds very American, doesn't it? Yeah, very good. There's China. It says on here, People's Republic of China. So all the countries are in Chinese, but then they're also in English. So we got China over here. Where was yours?
Right here.
you're way over here in Africa. Okay, well, let me spin it a minute. And you and I are way over here. Now, here's the question I have for all of you. Does God love a soul in China more than a soul in Africa?
No.
Or more than a soul in America?
No.
Who's God love more?
One by one.
Okay. For God so loved
the world.
The world, right? The world, the whole stinking thing. Stinking is a theological term for human depravity and sin. It stinketh in God's nostrils. So, you know, as we watched the videos tonight, I was very, very touched, weren't you? You know, at God's love. And I'm very touched by these women and their willingness to traverse the globe, literally, to share the gospel. But I suspect that if God didn't lead them back, I know Nancy's going back and you may be going elsewhere, that I believe that right here in River City, they would share the gospel. I mean, why go around the globe and share it if you won't share it with your own neighbor, right?
Right.
Because if God loves the Chinese and God loves the
Ghanaians,
and God loves Missourians, right? So last week I got to speak at TFC, or 2 weeks ago, in a Teens for Christ Friday night meeting, and some kids made a decision for Christ that night. Mm. Well, God loved those young people. Last night at the rally at the ranch at El Shaddai, Tim got to pray with some people. My daughter got to pray with a girl who came to Christ. God loves those people. Amen. So, without diminishing in the least going overseas, because I believe that we should not only support foreign missions, I believe we should increase our support of foreign missions. Giving money to send them, but for not to us to go to our own neighbors, is a form of hypocrisy. You don't pay workers to do what God has called you to do. Are you following me? You hearing me? It's really not an either-or proposition. As a matter of fact, because God loves the entire world, we should do both. We should support our foreign missionaries. We should support local missionaries. Each one of us should be a missionary. Amen? And we have a mission field. You have it tonight when you go out. You have it Monday morning. You have it Tuesday morning. We have a mission field. And, you know, this VBS program is only one thing. There's many things happening. The ranch, youth work, VBS, drama, many things happening in our midst, the goal of which is that we would continue to propagate the gospel on our mission field right here in Missouri. So with the VBS coming up, I encourage you to consider not only helping out, but consider all the young people in your neighborhood that you can invite and bring. A cool story about VBS is, I don't know how many years ago we did VBS. We haven't done it for a few years. But at the end of VBS, as Dawn said, the culminating Saturday night, we invite the kids to church, and we're inviting their families. Okay, we want the parents to come too. And we give out awards that night, but one of the main goals is not just to recognize the kids, that's important, but that if they come and their parents come, we give the gospel of Jesus to the parents. Well, at a VBS a number of years ago, you know, we had the service on Saturday as a culmination of that week. And lo and behold, after I gave the gospel that evening, I found out that my own daughter Lydia came to Christ that night. And I believe it wasn't just that night, it was the whole week. She had been in VBS all week. I believe it has been the word of God and the gospel and the ministry in her life all week, culminating in that decision for Jesus. So we've seen good fruit, and we will continue to see good fruit. The gospel of God is the power of God to salvation. So we need to preach it in all of these different forums. So Having said that, I encourage you to please pray for what we're doing here. Pray for Nancy, pray for Carrie, the decisions they've got to make and the ministry they have before them. And pray ultimately, as Paul said, that the word of God would have free course and be glorified. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to pray for you too before I go. Father, I want to thank you for Nancy and Carrie and the work you've done through them and the work you will continue to do. We pray, dear God, that you'd fill them with the power of the Spirit so that when they go overseas or go to a different state, whatever you're calling them to do, people would see Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that they would just be the hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, the lips of Jesus to share the love of God with others. Thank you for the wonderful things you've already done in China, that you're doing in Africa. Lord, the work you're doing around the world that we don't even know about. Truly, God, you love the world. Fill our hearts with your love for the world right in front of us here in our own town. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. We love you guys. Let's have the worship band come, and we're going to conclude with one song that I asked them to close with.